Can everybody hear me? Thank you, Butch. So as he already said, my name is Jacob Blaylock. In case you don't know, my mama is Amy Burney down here, the lovely, the wonderful, the best mama in the world. And she deserves it. She'll probably give me something to eat when we get out of here. My dad's also here today, and I want to thank both of y'all, because you both, in a time when I was just in deep darkness, neither of you may have known, but I'm sure y'all saw it. I was without the Lord, but you two were great lights in my life that helped lead me to Him, and I thank y'all. This past week at Fuge, God reminded me of something massive that I had neglected. It was the fact that He answers prayer, and that He answers it mightily, not just in small ways. When He answers it, and He likes to glorify Himself quite a bit in it. And so, if you will allow me, we're going to pray first, and then we're going to be going into Matthew 7, starting in verse 7. Almighty God, my glorious Father, I come before You now, realizing, Lord, that everything I say that does not honor this text, Your Scriptures, is rot, and all it will be to these people is rot. So, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would come and freshly anoint me, so that everything that I say is not my own, but rather is You, that it honors the Scriptures, Lord. Thank You so much for the anointing You have already poured out on us this morning. Thank You for that great promise that where two or more are gathered, You are there, Lord. Thank You for just being the almighty, everlasting God that You are, Lord. You are good, and I praise Your great name. Lord, thank You for Your Son, who was the propitiation for our sins, who stood in our place, and whose righteousness we now have upon ourselves. Not our own, because we don't have any in ourselves, but instead, Lord, You gave Your Son so that we may be right before You. Thank You. It is in His great and mighty name, in which authority in heaven and earth is placed, that I pray. Amen. Matthew 7th chapter, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. First and foremost, Christ does not have any wavering when He says this. This is at the tail end of His Sermon on the Mount. He's tying everything together. He's saying, this is what it's about. And right here, there's absolutely no wavering in what He says. He says, ask and it will be given. He does not say, ask and it might be given. There's no question to it. It's ask and you will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. And I believe it. This past week at Fuge, it was shown mightily to me. What I asked for, God gave. He gave in heavy doses. He had no slack about it. He gave mightily because He glorifies Himself. But notice it doesn't just say ask. It also says to seek, to knock. Well, so then, when we pray, our prayer cannot stop when we get up off of our knees. After we have prayed, we must continue. You can pray that God gives you a job, but if you never go fill out an application, if you never go looking for a job, you're not going to get it. And if you never go knocking on the doors of employers, they're not going to notice you. So we must be the same way with God. When we ask, we must seek out His will in what we ask, and we must see what opportunities there are. We must knock on the doors of every opportunity we have to glorify Him and for our prayer to be answered. We cannot be idle about it. We can't just say, God, you got it. I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Because it is a two-way street. We must seek, we must knock after we ask. But know that the writers of Scripture have also said time and time again that you can't ask and believe that it's not going to happen, because then it's not going to happen. But instead, James, the brother of Jesus, said that the prayer offered up in faith would be answered. So we must be faithful to believe that when we ask God, He is ready to give. Now, the word ask here is usually used in the Greek as material things. But there's a bigger tie-in to it. Often when it is used, and especially in Scripture, it is someone who is inferior asking a request of someone who is superior. So then, we must humble ourselves before God when we ask Him. If we're not, then we're not really asking Him, we're commanding Him. And that's wrong of us, because we've done everything to blaspheme God. And yet, He still has given us everything. I just want to ask, who here this morning knows that everything good in their life has come from the hand of the Almighty God? I know that it has for me. He has done so good to me. I asked and received. I looked, found, knocked, and every door has been opened. What man among you, who when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? These next few verses are incredibly important. If he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? And then Christ says this, if you being evil. Once again, there's no wavering and no slack in that. More importantly, he's speaking to his disciples. This is his group of core friends. He calls them evil. These are the people who are following him daily. And he calls them evil. We too must recognize our place before God. There's no good in us that does not come from him. Everything about us that is good comes from him. All the evil that we have stored up in us was given over to his son so that we could be good and so that we could come before him and ask and say, Father, this is what I need. But what's the purpose of even asking? This, surprisingly, has been something that I've seen a lot online. Because people look at the omnipotence and the omnipresence of God, and they look at the fact that he stands outside of time, and they say, there's no need for prayer. He's going to give it to you. They say that the people who pray need more faith. Friend, there is no more faith than to come to an almighty God who is much higher than you, who is much greater than you, who you are not worthy to stand before, and still say, Father, please give me this, and he gives it to you. We honor God when we pray. We honor God when we have the humility to come to him and admit, we can't get it, so we need you. We need you, Father, to give it to us. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Earlier in this same sermon, Christ says that he did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. He also says that not one jot or iota, not the tiniest little speck of ink, will fade away from the law. So he gives us here clear instructions on how we are to fulfill it. Yes, he came to fulfill the law. Yes, we no longer live under the law. We are under grace. But that does not mean that we can simply go on living as if nothing changed. Friend, if God has come into your life, you are not the same afterwards. We can't say that someone has come to know God, and yet they go out and they're horrible to the people around them. They have no respect for anyone. And when someone asks them for a fish, they give them a snake. And when someone asks them for bread, they give them a stone. We can't say that that man has been touched by God. Because Christ is here telling us that we need to treat others the same way that God has treated us, out of the overabundance by which he has given us. the good of God should flow forth from us. And in that, we do honor the law and the prophets. But I woke up Thursday morning after reading this passage all last night, late into the night. I woke up with one single thought in my mind. There was someone who asked and was not given, who asked and did not receive. There was someone who asked for something and in return was given something worse. First, I ask that you go to Mark 14:36 now. This is how it reads. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Christ doesn't just ask that this cup be taken from him. He starts off by saying, "Abba, Father, God, you're greater than me." He's showing his submission to God the Father, even though he is God the Son. He is still God, but he submits to the Father. "Remove this cup from me." He did not deserve the cup. The cup spoken here, what is in the cup is the wrath of Almighty God that me and you, we all heaped it up. We all brought God's wrath and anger up. And yet, it's Christ that had to drink our hell. He asked for it to be taken. Also in Luke 22:42. Saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." If you are willing. He's still showing God's supreme authority. He says the same thing. But it didn't just stop there. He didn't just ask and not receive. He also, on that cross, said that he was thirsty. And to him was brought vinegar. And yet, the whole time he was here on earth, he knew it would happen. He knew it. He knew why he was going to the cross. And friend, it wasn't just a general thing. He wasn't just going for a general sense of humanity. He was going for you personally. Today, if you are a child of God, Christ personally had you in his mind the whole time he was on the cross. He drank our hell. He took what we deserved, what we still deserve, and instead, he was treated the way we deserved, and we're treated the way he deserved before the Father. It is because God denied his request that he can answer ours. It is because Christ was denied water on that cross that we can be given good things here on earth. Without that sacrifice, it is nothing. Without that sacrifice, we are nothing. Two greatest words in the world are wretch and worm in my vocabulary because they describe who I am. But I trust and I hope that one day I won't just be a wretch. One day I won't just be a worm. And if you're here today and you don't trust in that, oh, you got to get a hold of it. You got to get a hold of Jesus. You've got to get a hold of this great faith that says, though we are evil, there is a day when there will be no evil in us. In Revelation, it said very plainly that there's no more sin in heaven. In New Jerusalem, the city where we will live with the King, the city where we will be with Him and we will worship Him as He is, in His direct presence. We will not have the earthly temple that we do now, this body that is cursed by sin, but instead we will have a body that fits our new hearts as believers and is glorified, and we will finally worship Him as He deserves, because we will finally be capable of it. If you don't know the love of Christ, then you don't know love at all, and you can't love. You won't be able to treat people the same way you want them to treat you if you are not in Christ. Those of you who are, brother, sister, praise God. He is worthy of it. Those of you who are not, I would love to call you my brother. I would love to call you my sister. And if you hear the call of God today, don't delay. Don't wait until there's an invitation. Right now, you should be repenting. Right now, you should be asking forgiveness. It's late fall in 2015, sitting in that area. Pastor Mike simply said the words, "What have your hands done?" And every evil thing that specifically my right hand had ever done ran through my brain at that moment. I didn't wait for an invitation. It was that second that I repented. And from that day, God has called me His son. You can have that privilege. You can be a son. You can be a daughter of the Almighty, everlasting God. But not because of anything that you do. It's not granted to you because you ask forgiveness. It is granted to you because Christ stood in our place. His righteousness is our righteousness. And our sin was His sin. I'll say it again. Praise God. Praise His holy name. That great name, Jesus, there is no greater name. There is no other name under heaven and earth that all authority has been given to. No other name under heaven and earth that has been given to man by which we shall be saved. And I just, if you could all bow your heads, I want to pray over you. Almighty God, I thank You for these people that are here today. You are great. You are wonderful. And I pray that You be with everyone here. If there is a heart that is hardened, Lord, break it, crush it. If there is a heart that has become callous from You, destroy the callous so that they can be as sensitive to You as a newborn babe. Pray this all in Jesus' name. If you need to talk about anything, if you feel the call of God this morning, I'm going to ask that our ministers would come forward, those that we have.